Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Bringing this message. I'm excited to be in part two of this message, His Presence. Last week, Pastor Philip did an amazing job of starting this series off talking about when Christ's presence came to earth, that He brought with Him hope and help for all people. Hope and help for all people. In my life, I've had the honor of standing in rooms with very important people. You know someone's very important whenever he has people that have people. You know what I'm saying? So I've been in rooms with people who have people. And most of the time, I've gotten to that room by happenstance. It was an accident. A friend invited me. A coworker invited me. I just find myself standing in the room. And it's interesting because I have no idea who these people are. And the truth is, they have no idea who I am. But they're all important people. And so what I found is when you stand in a room full of important people, you just nod a lot. You just kind of do this a lot. You're like, yes, yeah. You don't even know what you're agreeing to, but it's what they're saying, so you're just like, yep, that must be right. You know, that's good. And here's the, I didn't have anything to bring of value to any of those rooms or any of those conversations because I was not as important as those people. I've had the pleasure of sharing meals with famous people. I don't mean famous like everybody in the city knows them. I mean famous like, they've been on network television, famous, or they've stood on major stages. And I've had the opportunity to share meals with famous people, not because they, again, knew who I was, not because they invited me to eat with them, but because somebody I knew them. And next thing I know, we're sitting at the table, and it's, you know, famous in the way where they're sitting there eating, and someone walks up and goes, hey, I hate to bother you while you're eating. Well, if you hate to bother me while I'm eating, why are you bothering me while I'm eating? Is the question I want to ask, right? But they're like, could I get your autograph? And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I'm thinking, man, what it must be like to be this person. Every time you go somewhere, every time you do something, you know, someone's running up to you. You got to have a pen at all times, or you got to have a person who's your person who has a pen at all times, because you got to give your autograph to people, right? And I'm the guy sitting at the table that they always look over to and go, hey, could you take our picture? Right? Not, hey, do you want to be in the picture? Or, hey, can I get a picture with you? No, it's, hey, could you take our picture? Right? And so I'm like, you know, I don't even check to see if it's in focus. Just, you know, here you go. And then my favorite times is because you're sitting at the table with a famous person, they look over at you and they go, are you famous? Be like, yeah, I'm the voice of Yoda. Baby, it's the voice of Yoda over here. Like, I wasn't even born when Yoda's voice came out. You know what I'm saying? But they don't know. Can I give? You know, they take a picture. I've been in these rooms with famous people, but here's what I could tell you. If those people were sitting in this auditorium in this service this morning, the reality is they would not remember that I was there. They wouldn't know who I was. They wouldn't even recall that I took their picture for them. That's just the reality. I've learned a life lesson through this process. It took me years to understand, and this is the lesson that I've taken away from it, is that there is a huge difference between being in proximity to someone and being in the presence of someone. See, you can be with someone but not be in their presence. Amen. Fathers, we can be guilty of this. I'm a dad, you know, I'm only 3.5-year-old dad, so, you know, I mean, I'm still learning how to be a dad. But one of the things I know about being a father is that when we get busy, when our mind gets consumed, right, our children, our spouses can be in our proximity, but not necessarily in our presence, right? Because we're not there with them. We might be there physically, but we're not there mentally. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a difference in life between being in proximity of someone and being in the presence of someone. In fact, proximity is defined this way. It is a nearness in place, time, order, or occurrence. It is a nearness in place, time, order, or occurrence. As Christ followers, I want to just warn you. I just kind of want to alert you. It is very easy to find ourselves living our lives in proximity to God rather than the presence of God. And in fact, I would even go as far as to say, as the longer that you're a Christ follower, the easier it is to operate in the proximity rather than in the presence. Because you've become so familiar with God, so accustomed to the things of God, that it becomes very easy for you to just begin to operate on the outskirts of what God's doing rather than in the middle of what God's doing. Amen? And so what we find is that we can live near God's will. We can live near God's purpose. We can live near God's love as if that's the same as living in God's will, living in God's purpose, living in God's love. We have to be careful, listen, church, that we're not moving through life in proximity of God rather than in the presence of God. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And so Billy Graham, how many people love Billy Graham? Do you love? I just love Billy Graham. If you don't love Billy Graham, you should go back home, go back to sleep, wake back up again, because you should love Billy Graham. I'm just telling you, you are here today because of Billy Graham. I don't care what nobody tells you. Billy Graham told somebody about Jesus who told somebody about Jesus who shared Jesus with you. And when we all get to heaven, we're all going to have to thank Billy. I'm just telling you. It's going to happen. You don't even know that. You might not even be aware of it. But Billy Graham has reached so many millions of people that I just have a respect for the way that man lived his life for Jesus. And Billy Graham said this. He said, God created us for one reason, to know him, to love him, and to have fellowship with him. Now, if Billy Graham was here, I might take argument with Billy Graham if rather or not this is one reason. It looked like three. But Billy Graham says it's one, so it must be one, because Billy Graham wouldn't be wrong. And so I want you to just understand what those one reasons are today. One being a plural thing, where Billy Graham is concerned, to know him, love him, and have fellowship with him. See, in the beginning, man and God enjoyed each other's presence. Their relationship was unbroken. On more than one occasion, Adam and Eve stood in the manifested presence of God. Do you understand? We're not talking about the presence of God as we know the presence of God. I'm talking about the manifested physical presence, personification, if you will, of the Creator. Genesis 1 and 27 says, God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created us, male and female. He created us. That word image there can be translated literally into his likeness. You and I were created in the likeness of God in order that we might have fellowship with God. In other words, you were created for his presence. Look at your neighbor and say, you were created for his presence. Some of you are like, no, not you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you was close, but not really. No, you were created for God's presence. You didn't understand that. That when he created you, he did not create you for proximity. He did not create you for distance. He created you for intimacy. He created you to be close to him, next to him, near to him on a day-to-day basis. But something happened, didn't it? Something happened. Something that would affect the relationship of God and creation for generations to follow. We sinned. And somebody else say, time out. We didn't do nothing. Adam sinned, right? How many of you us know that we are sons of Adam, right? We sinned. We sinned. We fell short. We take responsibility. Why? Because the enemy convinced us that we were not like God at all. In fact, the enemy told us that God was holding out on us. That God was keeping something for himself. He told us that we were to eat from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we would know all things and become equal to God in all ways. I don't know about you. I had no desire to ever be equal to God in all ways. I didn't need that role. I didn't want that responsibility. Paradise sounded pretty amazing just the way it was. But the enemy convinced us that something was lacking in our lives, that we were not who God said we were. We are created in the likeness of God. While that may mean that we are less than God, listen to me this morning, it does also imply that we are greater than the enemy. We are greater than the enemy. This is a word for somebody this morning because the enemy has been causing you to question your identity. He's made claims over you. He's claimed that you are lacking in something. He's told you that you are not smart enough, rich enough, pretty enough, or just outright not enough. Somebody today needs to take authority over the enemy and let him know that you today are more than he will ever be. Isn't it funny how we begin to listen to the lies of the enemy, receive the lies of the enemy without reminding the enemy of just who he is? And reminding ourselves of just who we are. In fact, Psalms 8, 4 through 5 says it like this. What is a man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. And you crown him with glory and majesty. Can I give you just a little Bible lesson right here? A little something I learned in those 1.5 years I spent in Bible college. 1.5 years of 4 years that I didn't finish. Can I just give you a little something? Just a little something I took away. Just the only thing that I got that if I don't share it with you today, it was all worth nothing for that 1.5 years, right? That I sat in a class one day and we brought this verse up and there was a discussion about this verse because depending on the translation you read determines how this verse reads out. In some translations, in the King James Version, this will say, you created him a little less than the angels. But in newer translations, it will say, you created him a little less than God, or technically, you created him a little less than yourself. Now, why is there a difference between the two? Because if I read the King James Version, technically, if the enemy is an angel that has fallen or not, still an angel, a fallen angel, wouldn't it be that he's a little more than me? Well, when the word was being translated from the original text, it was almost considered heresy to translate this word less than God. And so rather than pin it less than God, they changed the word to less than angels. Now, listen. I don't know about you, but I got to believe the enemy was a part of that because he didn't want you to know that you're created a little less than God, therefore you're a little more than him. And so man, as he was writing this, and so we said, well, Brandon, does that mean scripture's error, that it's not God? No, the original text is perfect. But on this particular word right here, we changed it a little bit. Not that it's still a bad translation, it's just not the fullness of what God was saying. He created you a little less than him, but he created you a little more than the devil. Somebody should get excited about that this morning, so that when the enemy comes, you realize no matter how big he looks or how tall he stands or how loud he gets, you're still a little more than him. And listen, if you being a little more than him ain't enough, you got to know God's a whole lot more than you. And so if you got God that's a whole lot more than you and you just a little bit more than him, then he ain't got much to say, amen? Some of us need to look at the enemy and go, no, you're going to lose before you even get started because I'm a little more than you and God's a whole lot more than me, so that means you're really not much of anything. Man, I'm just trying to get somebody to get excited about Jesus this morning. So we got to remind ourselves who we are. We look at Genesis chapter 3 and we're reminded that we're created in the image, the likeness of God. We look at Psalms 34 and we realize that we lack no good thing. We look at Romans 8 and we realize that we're more than overcomers, that we're conquerors. If we look at 2 Corinthians 5, we realize that we are the righteousness of God. And if we look at 1 John 4, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Why? Because we're just a little more than the enemy, because we're just a little less than God. We're not God. We don't hold equality with God, but we're more than the enemy. Because that's the way God created you. Listen, God created you for his presence. But the enemy longed to separate the created from the creator. And that's exactly what he did on that day. The Bible tells us that when they had eaten the fruit, that their eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and wife hid themselves from what? From his presence. From his presence that they had experienced time and time and time again. From his presence that they knew so well. From his presence that they were created to reside within. They hid themselves from his presence among the trees of the garden. See, you need to understand the enemy preys on those who choose to live in the proximity. The enemy preys on those who choose to live in the proximity. That's why the enemy works continuously to get you out of his presence. He wants to separate you from the presence of God because if he can get you into the proximity, he knows he's got a better chance of taking you out. In fact, if you've ever watched Animal Planet, you know this to be true. Right? Turn on Animal Planet, you'll learn a spiritual lesson. All right? Turn on Animal Planet and you're going to see it. It's the same story every time. The storyline never changes with Animal Planet. It's always going to be the same story. There's going to be a herd of wildebeest. They're going to be making their way across the African plains, right? And a lion is going to pick up the scent of the wildebeest and begin to stalk the prey through the tall, dense grass, right? And the cameramen, they're going to follow the lion as he gets closer and closer to the wildebeest. But the lion, he doesn't just run right out and charge out into the open and attack the herd, because that method of hunting is ineffective. How many of you understand the enemy is not going to come charging right out at you in the midst of the presence of God, because that is ineffective? He's going to look for the one that's in the proximity, but not in the presence. The cameraman begins to slowly pan and zoom the camera to the wayward wildebeest that has gotten himself just a little too far outside the safety of the rest of the herd. The target has been established. Now, this is the part that bothers me just a little bit. I know that we're supposed to capture nature, you know, at its purest here, and that's the whole job of the cameraman. But the cameraman has an opportunity right here. He has a choice. He could be a hero. He could start honking a horn. Bam, bam, bam. He could start yelling. Lion! There's a lion! There's a lion, right? He could alert the innocent yet slightly ignorant wildebeest that's found his way over here away from the rest of the herd. He could do that, but he doesn't. He holds the focus, zooms in tight, waits for that moment when the lion gets just close enough to pounce out, chase it down, and have it for lunch. Sometimes I think, church, that we, like the cameraman, have a choice to see those that we love begin to move from the presence to the proximity. And it's so saddening to me, even in my own life, those moments where we choose to watch rather than to alert. We see it happening. We see it coming. But we just continue to watch it rather than go, ah! Ah! Devil! 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 There's a devil over there. You need to get back over here. There's a devil over there. Somebody just woke up just a second ago. I apologize for that. We have a choice. 1 Peter 5:8 says what Animal Planet said, but they said it a long time ago. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I can promise you, he is not looking to pounce on the ones in the presence. He is looking to pounce on the ones who are operating in the proximity. But the gospel. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, but the gospel. The good news is that Christ came that we might once again have fellowship with God. He came to restore God's presence among men. He came to bridge the gap between proximity and presence. In fact, Matthew 1:23 says it this way, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is this, God with us. That's what the coming of Christ was all about. It was about the restoration of the presence of God to the presence of man. That's why we celebrate this season. We no longer have to hide in the shadows of our sin. Christ came that he might overcome the sin in our lives, and through his sacrifice, we might once again have fellowship with the Creator. Why is this so important to us? Because the more we know him, the better we will know ourselves. The more we know him, the better we will know ourselves, because we are created in his image. We are created. You are created in his likeness. That means this: the more God reveals to us who he is, the more he reveals to us who we are. God wants to reveal to you your original identity, your original purpose. We are no longer forced to serve God in proximity as the priests of the Old Testament, but we are now invited into the presence. Even in the Old Testament, when the priests would enter into the tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies, there was a veil that separated them from the manifested presence of God. Because of our sin, we couldn't go past that veil. To go past that veil meant instant death. And so they would even tie a rope. I don't know if you know this. They would tie a rope onto the leg of the priest in case something happened, in case he entered into the presence of God, unholy, unprepared, unatoned, and he died. Nobody could go in and get him, so they have a rope on his leg so they could pull him back out. This is the relationship after the fall that man had with God. But God wasn't satisfied with the relationship because it wasn't God's original plan for man to have to stand behind the veil. God intended for us to get into the presence of the Holy of Holies, presence of the King of Kings, presence of the Lord of Lords. Matthew 27, 51 says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." See, at the crucifixion of Christ, when innocent blood was shed and made atonement for our sin, the veil that divided the creation from the created was ripped from the top down in God's way of coming near. But we have to understand that we have a part to play in this relationship, you and I. It'd be erroneous to think that the responsibility of this relationship should solely depend upon God. In fact, James 4, 7 and 8 says it this way: "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." In other words, God has extended an invitation for us to leave the place of proximity and take our place in his presence, but we must respond. John 10, 10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Listen to me this morning. That abundant life is not lived in the proximity of God. It's lived in the presence of God. It's lived in the presence of God. Can you get some of the scraps from the presence and the proximity? Oh, yeah. And you know, for some of us, scraps are enough sometimes. Right? When everything's going good, God, I don't need everything. I just take a little bit here and there. You know, I just dip in, dip out, dip in, dip out. But that's not how God's called us to live. God said, "No, I didn't call you to be children of scraps. I didn't call you to be children who just jump in and jump out of my presence. I've called you to live, reside, remain in my presence." I don't know if you love Pastor Denny like I love Pastor Denny, but I love Pastor Denny. I want to tell you a little bit about my relationship with Pastor Denny. I want to tell you about how it started. I remember several years ago, I was traveling the country. I was preaching the gospel. I was doing weekend events and Sunday events and nightly events and camps and just all kinds of opportunities to preach the gospel. But in that, what I found was is that I didn't have a home. I didn't have a base. I didn't have a place where I landed. I was always moving from church to church to church to church to church to preach every weekend. But those weekends where I didn't have any place to go, I would just go to this church or I would go to that church. Or to be honest, I wouldn't even go to church. I would just watch TBN, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would just whatever I could do. And I began to feel like, man, I was missing something. In other words, I wanted community. I wanted people in my life who knew me and knew what I was doing and knew what I was about. And so I began to look for a place that I could go when I was at home and I could say, "This is my church." And when I was traveling and preaching and people say, "Well, what church you go to?" You'd have this long conversation with them about, "Well, I'm rarely ever home. So next week I'm going to this church to preach. And the next week I'm going," no. "Where do you go when you're home?" "Well, sometimes I go here, sometimes." I didn't want to have that conversation anymore. I wanted to be able to say, "I go to, this is my pastor. This is where I go." And so I went and had dinner with Pastor Philip and Destiny. We've been friends for years in the ministry. We went and had Indian food. I'll never forget. And we're sitting there and I looked at him and I said, "Man, I think I want to come to community church. I love you guys and there's so many great people there and I've had so many memories of ministry there. I think I just want to come to community church and hang out." And they were like, "Come on, man, we'd love to have you. Come this Sunday, you got to be here." It was Saturday. We were going to start a Saturday night service over there. This is years ago. I remember we were going to start a Saturday night service and they were over it and they were like, come on Saturday and help us with this service and it's going to be great. So I remember showing up, sitting there on the front row. And for the first time, I'd met Pastor Denny before, right? I had seen him in places. Like, I caught him at a gas station one time, you know, pumping gas, and went over and introduced myself to him. "Hey, Pastor, how you doing, man?" Nice that you don't know me, but, you know, it's kind of weird. You know, my hands smell like gas, and it was awkward, you know, I understand. And so I remember sitting there on the front row, and he gets up on stage, and the man begins to preach. And I just remember sitting there going, "What? Oh, did you hear what he said?" And I remember sitting there going, "I'm going to steal this message. I'm preaching this next week. I don't even got to write a sermon. I'm just going to take this sermon. This is a good idea. Every time I come home, I'm just going to come here and listen to him preach, take whatever he says. I'm going to take it somewhere else and preach it because it's way better than what I'm going to come up with. Oh, this is amazing. I got to get to know this man. He got something I want. He got an anointing I need." I remember telling Phil and Destiny in the most normal way I possibly could, like, "Hey, I want to meet your dad." Just kind of an awkward conversation, you know, it's a little weird. "I want to meet your dad. I like your dad." really want to meet him. I think that'd be cool if I could meet him. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, he knows all about you. We talk about you all the time. He knows you. I'm like, oh, cool. That's cool. So, you know, they begin to invite me to the back room, to the ready room. You know, I go to the ready room. They walk in, and they would be like, Dad, this is Brandon. This is Brandon. He would go, oh, yeah, hey, buddy, how you doing? Good to see you, buddy. Oh, I love you, man. Thank you so much for coming, buddy. I hear you're doing great things, right? And so I thought, you know, this is cool. So then I would just kind of come around every now and then. And he'd, hey, buddy, how you doing? Buddy, how you doing? I started thinking, Pastor thought my name was Buddy. He didn't hear him when they said Brandon. He heard Buddy. And so so he said it so long, I just began to believe it. People began to say, what's your name? Buddy. Ask Pastor Denny. It's Buddy. It says Brandon on my license, but Pastor Denny says Buddy, so God must have intended for me to be Buddy. God changed my name. Like Paul to Saul, I'm Buddy. I went from Brandon to Buddy. I don't know what God's finna do, but it's finna break loose because my name just got changed. You know what I'm saying? I done went from Abram to Abraham, Brandon to Buddy. Things finna break loose in my life, right? I'm walking around thinking, I'm Buddy, you know? And then after a while, I realized there were a lot of Buddies in Pastor Denny's life. You know, I'd be somewhere, I'm around a little bit more, and he, you know, hey, buddy, how you doing? How you doing? You know, some guy walking, hey, buddy, how you doing? But I'm like, oh, whoa. Hey, bro, I'm Buddy. Okay, you can be somebody else, but I'm Buddy, all right? My name done got changed. I'm Buddy. I don't know who he is, but he ain't Buddy. Philip, tell him he ain't Buddy. Philip, tell him he ain't Buddy. You ain't Buddy, okay? I'm Buddy. But listen, I wasn't satisfied with being Buddy. In other words, my relationship was based on the proximity with Pastor Denny, but it wasn't based on the presence of Pastor Denny. See, I knew him, but I didn't know him. He knew me, but he didn't know me. And I wasn't satisfied with that relationship. It wasn't enough for me. And so I wanted to advance in my relationships. I made it a point to come around even more, probably to the stalker stage. You know what I'm saying? I know security used to get a beep, you know, beep. Hey, we got a bald-headed guy walking down the back road right now, bald-headed guy. Oh, that's Buddy. Okay, no, we're good. We don't even worry about it. He's okay. He passed. So I came around, and I promoted. I don't know. See, I probably shouldn't tell all this because some of you are going to go back and you're going to find out that you where you're at in the promotion level. But I promoted. I promoted from Buddy to champ. Champion. Hey, champion. I was, woo! I just got a prophetic name now. I was Buddy. Now I'm champion. I can't even lose. I'm champion. Every time he would see me, champion. Hey, champion, come on in here and sit down. Woo, tell that man, you went and preached last week. Tell him, champion. Tell him. As some stranger, I don't even know this guy. I'm like, well, I went and preached. No, tell him what you preached about. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, like, I don't know what to say, right? I'm in this weird, awkward stage. But listen, I wasn't happy with champion. A lot of people would have stopped at champion. I wasn't satisfied with champion. Why? Because this man had something I wanted. This proximity was not going to be enough for me. I needed presence. I needed presence. I needed mentoring. I needed spiritual father. I needed somebody in my life to take me to the next level. So I kept pursuing. So here's what I did. I went to his office. And if you don't know, Pastor Denny's life is run not by Pastor Deonza. It's run by Miss June. If you want to know, if you can see Pastor, you ask June Barnhill. You don't ask nobody. Nobody else knows. June Barnhill knows. And so I went to June Barnhill's office, and I said, Miss June, I said, I'm champion. And she's like, Brandon, I know who you are. Don't you know? I said, listen, I just want to make myself available. I want to be able to serve Pastor however I can do that, whatever that looks like. And I said, I travel a lot on weekends and preach, but when I'm at home during the week, if I can help, I want to help. And she said, okay, I'll take your number down and your name down. If we need you, we'll let you know. I said, thank you so much. I just want to help however I can. And I left, and I'll never forget the day that my phone rang, and it said June Barnhill. And I answered, I said, hey, Miss June, this is a champion. What can I do for you? She said, Brendan, if you don't mind, she said, I Pastor needs you today. I said, okay, well, anything. What do you need me to do? Well, he needs you to take him and get a haircut. All right. Well, what time is his appointment? It's like in 15 minutes. Can you make it? I'm in Bossier. They're at Shreveport Community Church campus in West Shreveport. I said, if God wills it, I can make it. If Pastor needs to get a haircut, then the police can't see me. I'm invisible to the police. I'm gonna get there. I'm going to get there, Ms. June. So I got in my car, and I wasn't expecting the call. I wasn't prepared for the call. How many of you know sometimes when God calls you, you ain't expected or prepared? Somebody. How many of you know he ain't going to call you when you sitting there on go, right? You on the wrong side of town, right? Your car is all junked up with leftover Happy Meals and Sonic bags, and there's cups and everything, and there's an odor in there you can't talk about because your gym socks, right? God not going to call you when you're prepared for it. Listen, it might be in your lowest moment, and all of a sudden the phone rings and God says, hey, I got something I need you to do. So I'm driving with one hand and cleaning the car and shoving stuff under the seats with the other hand, because I don't know, I'm fixing to pick up Pastor Denny. He's going to get in my car. There's going to be an expectation here. I can't get him into some dirty car. He gets out to get a haircut and got French fry salt all over him. That's unacceptable. So I'm cleaning the car. I get to the church, right? I'm running. I get to the church. I jump. I leave the car running so it's not too hot. It's not too cold. Somebody could have stole my car. Like, I'm not even thinking. It's keys in it. I'm just running to the top. I get him. Pastor Dick, you know, I take him down. I open the door. Get him in the car. I get on the other side. Miss June gave me directions. He looks over. Champion, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you so much taking me to get my hair. Pastor, anything for you? I don't turn the radio on because I don't know. Does he listen to music? Does he not listen to music? I don't think I can get the preaching channel. I don't think I have that. So we drive the whole way there. He doesn't say anything to me. Just awkward. Just silence. We get to the haircut place. He gets out. I get out. We walk into the haircut place, right? We're there in a haircut place. I'm out of place. I shouldn't be there. I don't have any hair, but I'm in this... I'm in a salon. We're not talking about like a barber shop, right? We're talking about like a real full-on salon place, like where you get your hair did, not done. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm in there, and he's like, just sit right there. Just sit right there. I'll be done in about 30, 45 minutes. Just sit right there. And so I sat down. I'm reading hair magazines because that's all they got. People walking in, they're like, son, are you lost? No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on Pastor Denny. He gets done with his haircut. He comes back. He gets in the car. We drive all the way back to the church. He says nothing. We get to the church. I park. He goes, Champion, thank you so much, brother. Love you so much. Thank you, buddy. Love you. Love you. I said, Pastor, my pleasure. Anything I can ever do for you. He gets out of the car. He goes back upstairs. I'm thinking, that was horrible. I just failed. They're never going to call me again. Like, that's where I was at. But listen, how many of you know, listen, just because you mess up the first time, miss it the first time, don't mean you can't try again a second time. Come on. And so I never forget. The phone rang again. It was Miss June. Miss June, hey, this Champion, what you need? She said, hey, listen, Pastor got a big favor to ask you. Big favor. Can you do it? Are you in town? I'm in town, Miss June. You got some time. It's going to take some time. You got some time? Miss June, I can do it. I got some time. What we got to do? She said, Pastor needs you to take him to the DMV. I said, the DMV? She said, yeah, Pastor need to go there. He need to renew his driver's license. I said, why? He don't drive. I said, every time he need to go somewhere, somebody come pick him up. Like, I don't know. What are you going to do with a driver's license? I said, I didn't know. She said, well, you got a couple things you need to do. I said, okay. I said, Miss June, I'm on my way. You got to love somebody to take him to DMV. You got to want it. You got to want it. Amen. You got to want it. So I pulled up. I never forget. We got in the car. Hey, Champion, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Pastor, anything for you. So we go to the DMV. Hey, let's go to the one. He says, let's go to the one in Bossier. Let's go to the one in Bossier. We'll get out quicker. Okay. All right. So we went to the one in Bossier. Listen, we walk in. We walk up to the front. You can just feel the spirit of just depression as soon as you walk in. It's just all over the DMV. There needs to be an exorcism at the DMV. We all need to go there, march around that mug 7 times, put our hands on it, pray, anoint it with oil, cast that demon out of Shreveport, Bossier. I'm just telling you, it is there. That's where it stays, okay? And so we're there, and we take a number. They're like, take a number. We take a number. It's like 121. We look up on the sign, it says 5. I'm sorry, I think we got the wrong number. No, sir, just go sit down over there. Go sit down. I remember just sitting there. Everybody just got this look on their face like they just angry. Pastor's just sitting there. I'll never forget this. All of a sudden, we're sitting there, and he just starts humming. And so I'm looking around like. And then he starts humming louder. I'm moving down chairs. Like, you know, I'm going to just, I'm just going to sit down here because I don't know what you're going to do. And they got cameras, and I don't want to, and so he just starts, and then he starts swaying. Next thing I know, you okay? Next thing I know, I'm not making this up. If I could make this up, listen, I would, but I can't. I'm not this smart. Other people start humming. There is a sister in the back that got out a hanky. Yes, Lord. People are swaying and humming, and people are smiling. Folks are walking in, and you think you done came into cheers. Hey, what's up? Hey, you going to be here a minute. Just come on in. Are you a soprano or a bass? We got like the Brooklyn Tab Choir going up in this month. Folks is humming and singing, "Close to Walk with Thee." Like folks that you know ain't been to church in a minute. And all of a sudden they act like they got something going on. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head going, to this day, I think they still play that video. Best day ever at DMV was this day right here. I'll never forget. We finished at the DMV. I took him all the way back to the church. He didn't say anything. We didn't talk. Got out of the car. Champion, thank you so much. I'm just sitting there just like in awe. But I'm still not satisfied. I'm still looking for more. And so I got one more call. I'll never forget. I got a call. She said, "Hey, pastor needs your help again, but this Brandon, he's going to need you for a couple days. Can you do it?" I said, "Miss June, I'm here for a couple days. I can do it." She said, "He's working on a movie set. He's working on a movie set. He got to go to Minden, Louisiana. He got to go every day for the next 5 days. Can you do it?" I said, "I can do it." She said, "You got to be there early. Got to be there early." I said, I'm your man. Champion can get it done. Point me in the right direction. You tell me where I got to go. I'm going to make it happen. I'll never forget. So I picked him up. We were driving out to Minden. That's a long drive. Long drive. And I had no radio on. Be totally silent. Not having a conversation. Long drive. I'm just telling you. I'll never forget. I'm driving along. He reached over, put his hand on my shoulder. Said, "Brandon, tell me your story." I almost ran smooth off the road. I said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I was over here just praying in the spirit of my mind whenever you spoke to me. And so I'm sorry I didn't even hear what you said." What did you say? He said, "I said, Brandon, tell me your story." And I knew at that moment, listen, that my relationship had moved from a relationship of proximity to a relationship of presence. And I began to tell my story to Pastor, and he just began to speak into my life. And from that point forward, he became a spiritual father in my life, became a mentor, became somebody that I know at a drop of a hat, I can walk in his office and say, "Pastor, this is what's going on in my life. You tell me what you think I need to do. That's what I'll do because I know you're wiser than I am." Listen, our relationship changed, but it changed because I made a decision to press in. To press in. I could have been satisfied with proximity. Listen, there are a lot of people that would never even have the opportunity to operate in the proximity of Pastor's life just because of the way he leads his life, because of all the things he's got going on. I could have been satisfied. I could have looked and said, "You know what? This is enough for me." But how many of you understand that the real benefit was in the presence, not in the proximity? And listen, I told you that whole story to get you to this point right here. Listen, the proximity of God does not compare to the presence of God. Could you operate? Could you give your life to Jesus and for the rest of your life operate in the proximity of God and still have a good life? Yes, you could. But you won't have a great life. You won't have the life God intended for you to have. You won't experience the thing God has called you to experience. So here's the question. Here's the question. I wish I had 3 points. I don't. I just got one. I know Pastor Philip got you used to them three. I don't have three. I just got one. I got one S word. If you need two more S words at the end of the day, come see me. I'll make two up. They won't have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but I don't want you to feel cheated. So I'm just going to give you one word today, okay? So how do we get from proximity to presence? How do we move from this place of proximity to this place of presence? How many of you know God's done all he needs to do to get us there? Amen? God's done his part, right? So what is our part? What is our responsibility? How do we move from outside to the inside? Here it is, one word, submit. Submit. We read it just a second ago, James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God. Now, so that you walk out of here truly understanding what it is I just told you that you need to do, I'm going to define it for you according to Webster's Dictionary. To yield yourself to the power or authority of another. To yield yourself to the power or authority of another. Listen, to defer to another's judgment, opinion or decision for your situation. To submit, to yield yourself to His authority. God is calling us, the created, to simply submit to Him, the Creator. To submit our dreams, our goals, our desires. To submit our finances, our relationships, our will. To submit our husband, our wife, and our children. To submit our job, our career, and our retirement. To submit our time, our talent, and our treasure. To submit our heart, body, and mind. See, the truth is that as long as you're here, it's never too early to submit, and it's never too late. If you want to move from the proximity of God to the presence of God, you have to submit. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Sounds like a lot. Sounds like a big sacrifice. Until we find ourselves face to face in His presence, and we know that nothing can compare to His great love that He has for us. And James 4 goes on to say this in verse 10. If you will humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. He will lift you up out of the despair, out of the darkness, out of the pain of your past. He will lift you up out of the fear, out of the anxiety. He will lift you up out of the place of uncertainty, because He loves you and because He created you for His presence. God never intended for His relationship to be arm's length with you. In fact, He stands there with arms open wide. And He says, come to me, all who are weary and thirsty, and I will give you rest. God loves you unconditionally. And listen, His love is not deferred by your past, by your present, or even your poor planned future. Jesus came so that we once again might know what it means to live in the presence of our Creator. Can I ask you two very simple questions this morning? Are you submitted? Are you submitted? Listen, when I asked myself that question as I was putting this message together, I had to really take some time and work through some really hard elements of that. Am I submitted? Not just where I want to be, but every part of my life, every aspect of my life. Am I fully and totally submitted to God? Is every part of my being operating within the presence of my Creator? Are you submitted? And are you living in His presence? Would you just stand to your feet as we prepare to close this part of our service? I just want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to hopefully a word that has encouraged you and not condemned you. Hopefully to a word that has helped you to understand that God is not disappointed in you. That God has a desire for you. And that desire is to bring you closer to Himself. And this morning I would ask you this question, a question that we ask often, is your life right with God? If it's not submitted, it's not right. Can you walk out of this place this morning knowing that you're not perfect, but you're at least on the right path to having a right relationship with Jesus? If you're here this morning and you can't say yes to that, this morning is your opportunity to draw near. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm not even going to ask you to go to the back. But right where you are today, you can respond to the invitation of God. You can say, yes, Lord, I choose to be submitted to you. Yes, Lord, I want to move from your proximity into your presence. Yes, God, I believe that I was created in your likeness and in your image. And God, it was always your purpose for me to be in your presence. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And would you take a moment right now to begin to pray for yourself? Would you ask yourself the same hard question I asked myself? Are you submitted this morning? In every area of your life, holding nothing back, trusting Him with all, are you totally submitted this morning? Are you moving and operating in God's presence? Or have you become comfortable in the proximity? Is your life right with God this morning? Do you know that you have a relationship with the Creator? That you are in love with who He created you to be? If this morning the answer is no, I want to give you a chance to respond. And all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything more, but lift your hand. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you'd say this morning, Brandon, this morning I walked in. My life was not right or it was not submitted to God, but I will not walk out the same. This morning is my morning. This time is my time. This is my transformation. When I get to three, if that's you, you're going to lift your hand. We're not going to call you out or call you down or embarrass you. We just want to pray with you. One, God's been speaking to you for a long time. You found yourself moving or pushing yourself farther and farther away from God. Two, you know that God has a plan for you. You know that God has a desire for you. And this morning, you want everything God has for you. Three, would you just lift it right now and say, Brendan, this morning, I'm submitting my life to God. This morning, I'm surrendering my will. I'm submitting what I have to who He is. I see them. You can put them back down. You don't even have to hold them up. God sees your heart. Can we as a family of believers this morning pray with those who lifted their hands and even those who didn't and trust that this morning is their morning? This time is their time, and our God is bringing them from the proximity to the presence. Would you pray this out loud? Say, Dear God, I surrender all that I am to all that you are. I submit everything to you. Thank you, God, for loving me, for dying for me, for rising again, and for saving me from my sin past, my sin present, and my sin future. You are my God. I am created in your image. I am your son or daughter. And I give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, God, for never giving up on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. Come on, let's just sing.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.